Today's guest on Medeo Scientific's The Business of LoRaWAN is Derek Twondo, an IoT specialist and the creator of LoRaDB, an open source database built specifically for LoRaWAN devices. In this conversation, Derek explains what an IoT database actually is, why many general purpose databases become difficult to use as IoT projects grow, and what makes LoRaWAN data different from other types of telemetry. We walk through his device-first approach to data modeling, how LoRaDB is designed to simplify querying and visualization, and where it best fits today, from hobbyists and small team deployments to real production environments running tens of thousands of devices. This episode is sponsored by the Helium Foundation and is dedicated to spreading knowledge about LoRaWAN. If you'd like to try Helium's publicly available global LoRaWAN for free and support the show, sign up at metsci.show/console. Now, let's dig into the conversation with Derek Twondo. Derek, welcome to the show, man. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having me. How you been?
I am psyched to have you here.
Thank you.
I'm doing super well. We recorded the show in late December, and then I managed to botch the audio is what I think happened. So we're re-recording this, which is fun for both of us because we had at least one practice round.
Yeah, there we go. Gave me some more time to think about what I'm talking about too, yeah.
So tell me, let's start off with what is LoRaDB?
It's an easy to use database that has device first features in it, meaning, you know, the whole database is designed with the devices as the most important thing. So everything is organized around each device. All of the data that goes in there, you know, it's when you query stuff, it'll be based off of the device's EUI and all the information will come from that. Instead of it being different tags and fields and everything like Influx, it'll be a little bit easier and faster to query data for each device.
Okay, so the big point or the thing that the big pain point to solve is like it's faster and easier to query data than whatever Postgres or Influx, et cetera?
Yeah, and easier to, when you actually use the UI, it's a little bit more intuitive than Influx's. You click on the device tag and then you have like tags and measurements and all these different things that are in place when you're trying to visualize it. This one is just, you know, you pick the device that you named within Chirp Stack. It uses that device name and EUI, and then you can query different timeframes and everything through there. And it's just a little bit easier to use, a little bit more intuitive, and probably a bit faster. It can query a pretty big data set.
Yeah, and is that why you built it? If you could kind of encapsulate, I mean, building a whole new system is a pretty big job.
Yeah, I built it because of that, because Influx was one of the first ones that I've used. I haven't tried too many others. I think you said you used Cloudflare, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Cloudflare's D1, yep.
Yeah. So there's other solutions out there. This one was I just built because I wanted something that was intentionally made for just LoRaWAN devices. It doesn't really ingest any other things than LoRaWAN devices. So it makes it a nice addition to all the other applications that are out there.
Got it. And what can people expect when they use it?
So you might need a little bit of command line knowledge as far as getting it set up, but the documentation is pretty thorough. You know, I try to make it as simple as possible just by running, you know, like one bash command. It'll set everything up for you. And then setting up the database, there's two different things you can do. You can either just set it up to collect data from all of the devices on Chirp Stack, or you can set it up to where you can isolate different applications into separate databases using the command line interface that I created for it. That will help you isolate each database for each application. That way you can, when you go to look at everything, you're not looking at 1,000 devices. You're looking at, you know, each application's devices.
Got it. I mean, it sounds pretty cool to build a database just for LoRaWAN. What are the weak points that you think it has where you're like, all right, either I've got to shore this up or this is just inherent to the system, but it's worth the trade-off?
So I would say some weak points would be there's not a lot of application integration outside of whatever it's built into this application. So like you couldn't just go to Grafana and start visualizing data from this database yet. And then if you're trying to use it at a large scale, I'd like say you wanted to use high availability, that's something that's not built into it yet either. So mostly for like the hobbyist or something, you know, smaller projects, this is a nice thing to use. It's easier to set up and you don't have to know a ton of different applications just to get started.
And then when you say smaller, what are you talking about? Is that 2,000, 5,000, 50,000 devices? Like what are we?
Yeah. So I don't know about how many devices, but I do know that you know, smaller as in a one-man show, or if you, you know, you have just a few You could probably do a couple tens of thousands of them, of devices. It really just depends on how many people are working on this, at this, you know, helping you out. It's really meant for the smaller, like, hobbyist people of LoRaWAN users.
Oh, interesting. And would you say it's more focused on hobbyists, or is it appropriate for enterprise, or is it something that you think will grow into an enterprise piece?
Yeah. So as far as enterprise, it was mainly made for hobbyists, not for enterprise use. You could probably use it for enterprise use, but like I said, the high availability isn't there. The querying speed, yeah, like you can have 50,000 devices and it'll log and query really fast. But as far as, like I said, you're going to want high availability probably for certain enterprise applications. But if you're doing, you know, you have a smaller company or just, you know, hobbyist, I wouldn't say just hobbyist, but small companies can get away with using it as well, but not necessarily huge companies, you know, if they're trying to track hundreds of thousands of devices.
Maybe Amazon doesn't listen to this and jump in.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, but like I said, I don't know. They might find good use for it for internal stuff. If they just have, you know, they're watching one warehouse, they can probably get away with using one at each warehouse. But as far as availability, no.
Is there a difference between the way that you use it at work and how the average person who finds it will use it? Are there differences in how you kind of interact with it?
Not really. I mean, maybe. So I have it set up to where the database is in the cloud on a virtual server. You can run it locally, but I also run the UI that connects to the database to manage everything and visualize everything locally. You can also run that in the cloud, but I run that locally and the other things separate. That way, nobody else really has access to the UI unless they need it. I guess that's just a security thing I implemented into it. You could run it in the cloud. It does have authorization and everything, but it's just a little bit. Sometimes people like to keep the UIs off of the cloud and local hosted to make for security reasons. They don't want everybody looking into their stuff.
Got it. And it's a project on GitHub, so anyone can use it. It's not like you're selling it, at least not yet. Is that right?
Right. Yeah. They can get into it. They can look at the code. They can change anything they want to. Yeah. And just use it freely. Test it out if they want to. It's honestly, I like it because I'm adding new features in there. At first, I was not going to have graphs and everything built into it. But then I thought, like, why have another piece of software if I'm trying to make it easier for these people? Why make them find another software that they can visualize it? I just started adding it in there. The challenge is going to be all the devices that are in LoRaWAN. You have to kind of make different, since they output different measurements and different payloads, we have to kind of make a database for all this kind of stuff to where anybody who's using it can also get access to using any of those devices just without having to program it themselves into the software, which I'm working on right now.
Got it. And are there devices that you've put a ton of them on there and this is working well? Is like, oh, this is really great for water meters, but I haven't tested out, you know, solar panel monitors or whatever it is.
Yeah. So there's quite a few devices that I haven't tested out, but with the way it saves data, it's just a matter of getting the right widget visualizations in place because the data's there. And once it gets into the database, it's just a matter of configuring and setting up widgets to show in the right way, because I don't have it like Grafana and different places like that. You can create a widget for a measurement in a device. What I'm trying to do here is create a widget for the whole device so you can see all the measurements in one widget, that way instead of having, you know, 20 different widgets for a device that has 20 different measurements.
Oh, interesting. So like an 11-in-1 indoor monitor, what you're saying is you want to be able to see all of those right. things in one, just
all of that information in one widget, which complicates things a little bit, but also makes it a lot nicer in the UI because now you don't have to set up a different widget for each measurement like you do in Grafana or in Togo or in any of these other Datacake. That was one of the big things that I'm trying to implement in this to make it easier. So you just do it by device, and that's where it's getting a little bit tedious, but at the same time, in the end, you only have to do it one time. So right now I have it saving it into JSON files. So anybody can pretty much take the JSON files and create their own widgets using the templates that I have. It's a little complicated, but
okay.
Once I have it set up, it'll be easier and easier for the people who are trying to get into it to just, you know, pick a device. Which device do you have? Add the widget and then visualize your data and then connect it.
And is this something that's going to be pretty easy for ChatGPT or Gemini or Claude or whatever to...
Yeah, exactly. So you can probably just go into Claude and say, you know, create me a JSON based off of, that's why I have the template there. That way you can just add that template and it'll create that JSON file for you. And then you should just be able to drag it into the device types folder and actually create new devices that way.
Okay, pretty straightforward to create new devices. Are you thinking about how AI in general integrates into this, or is it more that strategy is like, hey, I'm just going to provide clear documentation and with that, AI can do anything?
I could possibly add a way for AI to be implemented to do it, maybe down the line. Yeah, I could probably add something like that as an option. You know, it wouldn't be hard to add, you know, somebody adds their API key and then they can just get Claude or something to generate those features, those devices for them, which might be a pretty good idea.
To do the magic. I mean, it sounds pretty easy. If you've got a template and then you've got a new device, whether it's a whatever radar people counter or whatever, you can just say, hey, here's a template, here's a device, here's the documentation from the manufacturer, here's the documentation from Derek, go make this thing work.
Right, right. And it's even easier than that. Once you add the device to the database, it outputs the LoRaWAN frame for you, and you can just copy that frame and then say, can you pretty much make this frame work with this template? And then it'll output, you know, it'll fix the code for you to pretty much make a widget for you.
And when did you launch this thing? How long has it been going?
So I put it up in GitHub, I want to say late November, but I've been using it personally for a while now. And like I said, just internally within the company I work for, because we don't have a whole ton of devices, but we're starting to pick up to where it's just easier this way. And for me, at least, instead of having to implement everything into Influx, and then just something that I enjoyed doing for this project, and it's been working. So I figured, you know, why not share it?
Yeah, that's rad. And then do you have a future set of milestones that you want to accomplish, or timeline laid out, like, hey, this is what I want to do by the end of 2026, et cetera?
As I use it, I find new features that I want to add to it. There's not really any end goals besides to make it as easy as possible for new people to come in. I think that's the main goal. And the more I use it, the more I realize, and the more I use other tools, it's like, well, they don't do this very well, or they don't do this yet. And I think it would be a lot easier if they did it this way. I think it's because LoRaWAN's so new and there's just not a lot of focus on just making LoRaWAN tools better. There is on like the application side, I guess, but the database side is like you choose your own database and
figure it out,
kind of go with that.
Yeah,
exactly. And I mean, some places are making it easier. Datacake, you can ingest everything in there, but then you don't have a lot of choice with what LNSs you use. You kind of just are stuck with theirs.
Okay. Dude, super cool to see things being built for LoRaWAN. It's been around long enough that it's nice to see the ecosystem advancing in this way. Is there anything else that you want to share, or you want people to know about LoRaDB?
Nope. But if they have any questions, you can reach out on GitHub and, you know, I'll try to answer them as best as possible. And it'd be nice to get people to start using it to see what kind of problems we run into. That way we can
solve them.
Implement. Yeah, exactly. And see what kind of issues they have instead of just my issues put into this.
Yeah. Well, Ripping, thanks a ton for your time. I know you get your regular job, so appreciate you carving out some time for your day to talk to us about LoRaDB.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
That's it for this episode of The Business of LoRaWAN. If you want to go deeper and actually deploy devices, the Medio Scientific Console is the fastest way to do that. And honestly, it's also the best way to support the show. When you use the console, you're not just listening, you're participating in the same real-world LoRaWAN work we talk about here every week. You can get started with a free trial at medioscientific.com. Huge thanks to the sponsor of this show, the Helium Foundation, for supporting open LoRaWAN infrastructure worldwide. Check them out at helium.foundation. And if the show's been useful, a quick rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to this really helps people find it and helps the show grow so we can help more people. I'm Nick Hawks with Medio Scientific. I'll catch you on the next episode.